Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Memorial Day deals are here at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances, including Samsung. Plus, save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances, $396 or more. Like the Samsung Bespoke AI Laundry Combo, the largest capacity, fastest, all-in-one laundry combo available that washes and dries in one machine. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 5/15 through 6/18. Selection varies by location. Total savings varies based on purchase amount. See Lowe's.com for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Thursday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Another special edition of TEL, live in person in studio together up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. In this second hour, you could almost call it hot button topic hour, and we will have our guy Mark Zeno joining us a little bit later on to give you every take that he feels near and dear about. We'll talk a lot around the National Football League here to begin hour number two, and all the big stories coming out of OTAs: who is present, who is not, what does it mean? Is it significant? All of those conversations here, DRS, to start off the second hour.
Yeah, good. A couple good topics to sort of mix in there. Talk a little NFL action because we are getting closer to the regular season. Yesterday, or was it Tuesday, marked the 100 days until the start of NFL football live, which will be the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. We're much anticipating that. Taking a look yesterday at some college football news. Are they going to expand the playoffs and what that means? And also the covers for NCAA 2026 as you set it up. So good times here all the way through as we wait to get through these summer months. Now, do you like count down the summer? Like, do you enjoy the summer?
For sure.
Like, I like the summer, but I would much rather just hit fast forward to get to September 1st, to be honest.
I love summer. I also like this stage of, well, what doesn't feel like summer outside, but I love this stage of summer, the anticipation for it. But it flies by, right? Yeah. Here we are at the end of Memorial Day weekend. July 4th feels like it's forever from now, and yet it is really not. And by the time you basically get to early July, second week of July, the end of July 4th weekend, and that holiday, you're really getting ready for football. Media days in college football, teams starting to report to training camp in like 2 weeks.
Yep.
We've got a preseason game for the first time ever in the month of July here as well. So there is a lot to be discussed.
Yeah.
Earlier on, though, in the offseason program, it is the organized team activities known as OTAs, a voluntary assignment. But most of the guys tend to show up to be with their pals, to be with their teammates, to get some work in early on in the offseason program. Oftentimes, DRS, if you are not showing up, there is a contract dispute, or you're a veteran, or in the case of newly acquired wide receiver for the New England Patriots in Stephon Diggs, you are partying on a boat. Pat's wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, was not present for yesterday's voluntary OTA. One day after a video of the wide receiver went viral on social media in which he was on a boat, flashed an unidentified pink substance while surrounded by three women. Now, some people would call that true wide receiver one type of behavior, but it's his first offseason in Foxborough, and he is already not at OTAs. A slightly new segment about to debut here on the early line called News or No. So, DRS, I ask you, News? Or no?
No, I'm gonna say Diggs. Yeah, I'm gonna say no at this point. It's fun that it's quote unquote news in the off season, but Stephon Diggs, whether or not he has a huge impact, is still left up to be desired to see if he fits in and how he comes off that knee injury that he has. But also, having said that, it's not a great look for a player that's supposed to be a veteran, that's supposed to lead with a young quarterback, and you want to get those extra reps. It's like, hey, where are you? I'm in Texas. I'm working out every single day. I don't want to break my routine. You know, my knee feels really good. I will see you in training camp. It's okay, that makes a lot of sense. Or is it, I'm trying to rehab my knee, but it's an off day for me. You guys are grinding and working hard with a brand new coaching staff that's trying to get everybody on the same page, but I still need the party just a little bit more until I show up. The optics are terrible for Diggs, but in the grand scheme of it, whether Stephon Diggs is really good or not, I don't think really has too much of a bearing on the New England Patriots. They want to be spectacular and catch 1,300 yards worth of balls. I don't think the expectations are that, so it is newsworthy per se because it's interesting that you would put yourself in that situation. Like, hey, no cameras on the boat. We're about to handle some business out here. But then you like, hey, let me just give these three ladies a pep talk and say, look, here's the prize right here, a pink substance, and let's keep this down. Not a great look for Vrabel. How else was he supposed to answer that question?
Now, you have heard what this unidentified pink substance might be known as in the streets.
What is it?
Can you reveal that name?
Is it Tussie? I want to say what it is right now. Now, also, like, being in that predicament, like Ben probably multiple times and giving, like, pep talks to multiple women, but not me. Family man over here. You know what I mean? Keep that the same.
Never been on a boat. Never been around an unidentified pink substance. Certainly have never given a pep talk to multiple women. When my girlfriend, who was also a famous rapper, was apparently on that
that's
boat.
That's pretty, wow.
As well, Stephon Diggs. Again, some might call this wide receiver one behavior.
Yeah.
And maybe he will be wide out number one this year in New England. Of course, last year it was a big offseason acquisition for Steph Diggs to be dealt by the Buffalo Bills to go to Houston. Injuries kind of marred his lone season in H-Town. Is he a guy on a career decline? I would say from a football impact perspective, no news, right?
Yeah.
From the social media virality of this situation, certainly news and a funny story. Not if you are Mike Vrabel, who has to be asked about it. I don't believe DRS that any further discipline will be taken against Stephon Diggs by the NFL. Like, I don't think they're going to start an investigation into seeing what that pink substance is actually called. Could the Patriots discipline him, fine him, cut him? That's a different story.
Oh, they've had talks already. Not on cutting him, but sure. It's not just Vrabel going like, hey, we'll see when he gets back. Vrabel had his number immediately after that came down and probably dressed him down saying, you've got to be kidding me. You know what I mean? You have to be, as a veteran player in the NFL, you can't be this dumb to put yourself in that situation.
Absolutely so. But Steph Diggs certainly did put himself in that situation. We will have investigative reporters on the beat trying to figure out the exact name of that unidentified pink substance here on the Sports Grid Network. News or no continues into OTAs for the Cleveland Browns, DRS. A very jumbled quarterback room, of course, this offseason, which we saw added to with the third-round selection of Dylan Gabriel and the fifth-round pick of Shedeur Sanders. ESPN Cleveland, the radio affiliate of ESPN in the land, has been keeping track of how these quarterbacks have performed in the open practice session during quarterback drills in those team drills for the Browns. They have compiled the stats. Joe Flacco, 9 of 14 for a touchdown yesterday. Shedeur Sanders, 7 of 9. Three touchdowns, pretty good. Kenny Pickett, 9 of 16, not a touchdown, but not a pick. Dylan Gabriel, 11 of 16, two touchdown tosses, and yet an interception. News or no, DRS, that the Cleveland radio affiliate of ESPN is keeping stats on the Browns quarterback room.
No, it is newsworthy because most beat writers do that to try to keep up on, like, last year it was big in Philadelphia, the interception streak or the interception-less streak of Jalen Hurts in training camp led to him protecting the football in the regular season, only have a couple turnovers in game number one. It's always fun to see that sort of come to fruition. But for me, we don't have context on this. Like, look at Shedeur, 7 of 9. Does that mean he was, you know, in a 30-yard line, just throwing ropes into the end zone? It was really easy. Or was this, hey, you know what? He got the goal line work on the one-yard line with no pass rush in 7-7 and hit the fullback three times for a one-yard touchdown. We don't know. They're good statistics to have. Like, yes, at least it's not the reverse. 7 of 12 with three interceptions and no touchdowns. But there's absolutely no concept to this because you're not in full gear. You're not going full gas. The defense isn't blitzing you. And I don't know the concepts of what plays you were running. Well, Shedeur Sanders had the screen. Were they three screen passes that scored touchdowns? We don't know that, so no news.
I would say no news as well. It's not really something that you can take from what we are seeing in voluntary OTAs and prescribe for how these quarterbacks are going to perform in actual football games. Could it mean something, at least from the visual perspective of how the quarterback room is filled out in Cleveland? Certainly so. If I asked you week one starter for the Browns out of the four guys on this sheet, who is it?
Man, number one, it can't, let's do it this way. It can't be Joe Flacco, you're right? It can't be Dylan Gabriel or Sanders. It's got to be Kenny Pickett.
I would agree.
It's got to be.
I think it is Kenny Pickett when all is said and done. Yeah. So maybe we'll discuss if it is newsworthy throughout training camp or maybe the rest of OTAs. NFL news or no?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't miss the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. You'll find the Maytag appliances you need when you need them at a great price. Plus, when you buy two select laundry appliances, you'll get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop Maytag at Lowe's. We help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply. Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
News or no around the National Football League continues bright and early on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid, early in the NFL offseason for voluntary OTAs as we speak. We talked about Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. We talked about the quarterback room in Cleveland having their stats tracked throughout voluntary OTAs in those team drills. And now we go to an AFC North competitor for Cleveland in the Pittsburgh Steelers. I promise it is not Aaron Rodgers' conversation. Oh. It is around star outside linebacker T.J. Watt, the former Defensive Player of the Year in the National Football League. He has not been at OTAs for the Steelers as he awaits a long-term contract extension. Watt entering the final year of his contract DRS in 2025. So the question to you, news or no?
No news here. That's what superstar talent is supposed to do. They know they're going to get paid. They're not going to work out with the team. They're not going to get injured. They want to hold some sort of leverage here because the fan base loves T.J. Watt. And if T.J. Watt isn't there for game number one, they're not going to blame T.J. Watt for wanting to reset the market for a defensive end. They're going to blame their ownership group and also their general manager. That's just the way it is. The Steelers can't have a good season without T.J. Watt being paid, happy, and in camp on time, and he understands that. But also, there is a spot here for the Pittsburgh Steelers to say, look, maybe this plays into it. Let's just say in the next week to week and a half, Aaron Rodgers goes, you know what? I promised Pittsburgh I was coming there. I can't even get out of bed now. I don't even feel like playing football anymore. I'm just going to retire. It is the way it is. And maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers go, okay, reset button here. Who wants T.J. Watt? One first-round draft pick, two first-round draft picks, maybe a one and a two, and you start the rebuilding at that point moment right now. I don't think that's going to happen. That's the only way it turns newsworthy if they don't get the quarterback. But if you are T.J. Watt, there's no expectations of him retiring, and it looks like he's still playing at a high level. And if you are in the final year of your contract, no football player, regardless of how talented you are, wants to go into a season without any future guaranteed dollars. No surprise for me. No news for me on T.J. Watt.
I would agree. No news. Again, the guys that are absent from voluntary offseason workouts, even organized team activities in OTAs, more than likely, if you're not Stephon Diggs on a boat or somebody dealing with other extracurriculars, you are trying to renegotiate a long-term deal using any bit of leverage. But if you're not happy with your contract status, you're not really going to be busting your hump out there either. This is T.J. Watt, who is 30 years old right now, turns 31 in October, a lifelong Steeler, and still has led the NFL in sacks DRS three times in the last five seasons. Last year was not his most prolific in terms of getting after the quarterback, 11 and a half sacks after 19 that led the NFL in 2024 when he finished runner-up to Defensive Player of the Year winner in Myles Garrett, but was out there for all 17 games, always a good sign for T.J. Watt, and still led the league in one vital category, forced fumbles, forcing six last year for Pittsburgh. A contract is going to happen. T.J. Watt is going to get paid. That will be restructured. So for me, no news as well. Now, we talked a lot about Aaron Rodgers yesterday or maybe 2 days ago, and if he actually moves the needle at all when it comes to the Steelers And what we have known as the standard of success in nearly two decades under Mike Tomlin for a Pittsburgh team that is set to enter the 2025 NFL season with a win total of 8.5. Both you and I, DRS, think that Aaron Rodgers probably makes them better than Mason Rudolph.
He does.
As the starting quarterback, but doesn't really change their outlook overall. There you see it right there. Would you bet the Pittsburgh Steelers in any of those numbers, or might you lean to the under of the win total 8.5?
And we might look at this graphic come, let's just say, early January. I'm like, what, are you kidding me? Yeah. The Steelers not to win 9 games? It's all Mike Tomlin does, and I get that. Now, they are in a tough competitive division here. They should be better, obviously, than the Cleveland Browns, but also you take a look at the Bengals take the next step forward here because now you have the wide receivers in tow and Joe Burrow, which still trying to work on the defense, and always the Ravens were an unbelievably good regular season team. So if I had to bet that, just knowing of what I think is going to happen, I think most people around the NFL expect Aaron Rodgers to be their quarterback. Why can't they be around 500 and be in the mix? Because it's one thing to say, Ben, yes, we're getting 10 wins out of the Pittsburgh Steelers, but that's not what you ask your bet to do. In the month of December with 4 games to go and you need 2 victories, that's all you can appreciate and say, I was in it with a legitimate chance to win it. And if Aaron Rodgers is healthy and Mike Tomlin is there, that should be a team that guarantees I'm going to be over 500. Why? Because that's always what Mike Tomlin's teams guarantee to be over 500. Making a deep playoff run, all that in the mix, maybe even not making the playoffs, but we're only focused here for me on 9 wins, and that's what Tomlin does. And if Aaron Rodgers is there, as much as you don't like him, the statistics were decent in New York. It just didn't work out. And maybe it doesn't in Pittsburgh, but no way, shape, or form do I think the Pittsburgh Steelers with any quarterback wind up with 4 wins.
It's a great point, DRS. Again, I have not loved the Steelers' plan this offseason. I have not loved Pittsburgh's plan basically in developing the quarterback room any of the last 3, 4, 5 years since the end of the Big Ben tenure. But even when Ben Roethlisberger was at the end of his career, his final 2 seasons, they made it to the postseason. He wasn't performing the way he did when they won a Super Bowl in 2008 or anything close to that standard. Heck, the Pittsburgh Steelers made the playoffs a few years ago with a rotating cast, a quarterback of Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, and I think Duck Hodges. So the idea that Aaron Rodgers would go there, and although I don't think he makes Pittsburgh a playoff contender or an AFC championship contender to get the 9 wins, is not overly crazy by me. You want to do a special edition of news or no?
Yep, sure.
Caleb Williams addressing the Seth Wickersham book about how he tried to circumvent going to the Chicago Bears during the 2024 NFL draft process. Very early on, he addressed the book and he said, basically, he loves being in Chicago. He loves being a Bear. News or no?
No news, because the way he handled it would have been big news if he goes, I'm not talking about this. Next question. Now you got news. Now they're going to pester you for the entire season. But him standing by his locker basically saying, I'm glad we get a chance to talk about this to clear the air. Look, there were some questions that came up as anybody would, but make no mistake about it. I love the fact the Bears drafted me. I love being here. I love my new coaching staff. I love my teammates. Let's put this behind us and let's get after it. That's the sign of a maturing young quarterback, because he could easily said, everything is false, nothing is true, I don't want to talk about it, and I won't take another question. Then they would have peppered him the rest of the year. So it's good that it's no news for us, because it's no news to the quarterback, and distractions out of the way before your season starts. Love the way he handled it.
And he called it, quote, a distraction, so he did want to publicly address it for the first time since that report came out. As you and I discussed around the report, it was almost like the headline was trying to make it news, when really what you read throughout the excerpts was not. Because it was Caleb Williams saying early on that he had some skepticism, correctly so, of the coaching staff he played under last year and the Bears as a franchise in not developing great quarterback play. But by the end of the draft process, was gung-ho on being that guy to try to turn the tide in Chicago. A Game 5 primer in the Eastern Conference Finals next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game number 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight inside the world's most famous arena. It is Madison Square Garden. Can the New York Knicks keep this season and their series alive against the Indiana Pacers, or will we, for a second consecutive night, have a spot in the NBA Finals booked and the entirety of that championship matchup set. Tonight, DRS, the New York Knicks trailing in this series by 2 games, 3-1. Booked as a 4-point home favorite inside the Garden to at least extend this series to a 6th game back in Indy. Total stands at 223. Let's start with the line.
Yeah,
the Knicks are a 4-point home favorite inside the Mecca, inside the world's most famous arena. But they are only 3-5 straight up at home in this playoff run. Do you agree with the Knicks being a 4-point home favorite tonight against the Pacers?
I do, because you're looking at a game where the Knicks must win here, and also being at home does mean something. We're not talking about 6.5, 7.5, but also it's not 2.5, which I do think is big. If you're looking for the best performance of the New York Knicks, I do believe you're going to get that tonight. And that means it's Jalen Brunson, and more Jalen Brunson tonight. We'll go over the prop bets in just a little bit, but if you are going to win a series, you can't win it in game number 5. When you're in the series, you can't even win it in game number 6. You got to get to game number 7. So one win is what the Knicks need to have as that building block. And you take a look at Tom Thibodeau. What did he say after the last game? It's very important for our guys to understand the series isn't over, but you can't win it in game number 5. Game by game is how you have to take it. I agree. I think the Knicks win this game and at least force a game number 7, or excuse me, game number 6. And if we get a game number 7, that would be fantastic. But tonight, I think it's a Knicks night.
So let's start with the betting statistics that we love on the FanDuel Sportsbook, where you get an idea of how the public is approaching this game and what it could mean for how we handicap it, at least on first blush. DRS, when you look at it right now, 4-point spread in favor of New York, 72% of the money on the spread is backing the road underdog in the Indiana Pacers. And frankly, really, who could fault them for doing so? The Pacers have won each of our first 2 games inside Madison Square Garden and have been a great underdog throughout the entirety of this playoff run. 62% of the overall volume of bets backing Indiana as the underdog as well. This line opened for game 5, understanding the Knicks were now on the brink of elimination as a 5-point number. Yes. Yesterday we were discussing was around 4.5.
Yep.
Now it is at 4. Do you think that is the public buying in on Indiana that has moved the line by a full point?
And also Carl Anthony Towns being questionable as a game time decision. We all think he's going to play, but that's the news coming out. And any bad news on a team is going to be reflective in that point spread. And I do agree, like the Knicks were just giving hype tonight because they're at home and they're a good basketball team. But nobody's going to be surprised. Oh, the Pacers can't win in New York. No, they've done that multiple times already in this series alone. They can win this game. But just for me, this is that Knicks last stand. And you can't correlate to what we even saw yesterday, because that was the Minnesota Timberwolves on the road in an elimination game for themselves. Just not able to get it done. OKC's better. This is the Knicks in an elimination game, but they're at home. So they're going to get that hometown crowd. That's not going to allow them, Ben, to have a 26-9 first quarter. Like, you want the 26-9 first quarter in your favor at this point. Yeah. Do I think some things need to change for the Knicks? Yes. But just my overall opinion, it's never wavered. Even after the last game they played and the Pacers won, I always thought the Knicks would win game number 5.
3-5 straight up for the New York Knicks at home inside Madison Square Garden this postseason. Also 3-5. Yeah. Against the number. They have been booked as a favorite, has New York, in 6 of those 8 games. Not the first 2 games in their series against the Celtics. They were booked as an underdog for both games 3 and 4 against Boston. Indiana has been an otherworldly underdog, DRS, throughout this season, outright and on the road. The Pacers, much like the Knicks, entering game number 4 in Indianapolis, are 6-1 straight up away from Indy. So they will look forward to this test tonight. And it's also why the public is buying in on the Pacers. Maybe the odds just having it slightly incorrect. When you look at the odds for the series outright, DRS, the Pacers minus 650 in the Eastern Conference Finals. Yep. Even if New York can keep its season afloat tonight, does Indiana ultimately win the East?
Yes, absolutely. I think they probably win it in 6. But for me, again, we already have one collapse in the Western Conference Finals, which means we don't have any more games. Just as a fan right now of the NBA, boy, I would absolutely love to see what? Hey, take a look at this. Game number 6? Yeah. Big win by the Knicks in Indiana, forcing a game number 7 at Madison Square Garden for the right to go to the NBA Finals. But I just think it's a Knicks night tonight. But game number 6, the Avalanche might be on the Knicks, and they better come correct. They can, but for me, to get to the original point, Ben, I just don't see it, though. I don't see the Pacers giving this series up.
The shortest correct score, the team to win and in how many games, is actually the Pacers in 5, which, of course, would be tonight in MSG at plus 148. about 15 cents short than the plus 164 number for Indiana to win at home in six.
Yep.
Mark Zinno is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some hot topics continue with our discussions around the National Football League during OTAs. And if we've got hot topics to debate and we need some takes, who do we call on? None other than Mark Zinno, who joins us here bright and early on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Mark Zinno, as always, we appreciate your time. We'll talk some NFL news and notes, some OTAs in your neck of the woods down there in Atlanta as well, elsewhere around the National Football League. And what I've been looking forward to most all week long, Mark Zinno, your thoughts on all the conversation this week around the SEC spring meetings, Big 12 spring meetings, on the future of the college football playoff. Very glad to have you here to end out this second hour, the final 30 minutes here on TEL.
The only thing hotter than the takes that I bring is that studio you guys are sitting in together. Look at those two studs side by side. I'm kind of jealous I was not part of this whole thing.
Yeah, you know I'm jealous that you're not here either. What are your thoughts on Homedale, New Jersey, Mark? Does it sound like a place you would want to move to?
I'm not too sure about that part of the dirty jersey. Oh, I mean, I'm more of the more of the Patterson, area.
Wow.
But, you know.
That's my take. There's only one king of Patterson here. He's already in studio right now at this point. But there is a lot of military installations up here by Homedale here. So,
Mark's
fit right in. There you go.
That's right.
Maybe DRS can salute some people and get you a discount.
Go to the armory.
Right. All right. So, as we focus on the NFL hot topics that we have to discuss, we start first, in your current neck of the woods before you move to Homedale. That would be Atlanta, Georgia. And, of course, the Atlanta Falcons, whose backup quarterback is not at voluntary OTAs this week. That is Kirk Cousins. Of course, demoted at the end of last year for the rookie Michael Penix Jr. He is now the guy. He is now QB number one entering year number two. So, Zeno, I ask you the question like this. Is it a big deal that Kirk Cousins is not present at voluntary OTAs?
Not a big deal from this standpoint of he's not the starting quarterback, and the Falcons are actually relieved that he's kind of not there to create more of a distraction. Look, I mean, I said it the day it happened. It was one of the stupider decisions I've ever seen by a professional NFL franchise to sign a quarterback to a $180 million contract and then draft his replacement exactly 5 weeks later. This was a terrible organizational decision by the Falcons. Now, they're going to spin this, and this is what's annoying about the Falcons and their PR staff. They're going to spin this as if this is the plan we had all along. This is the plan that when, you know, Kirk Cousins either got hurt or didn't play well or got too old, we were going to have Penix come in. And guess what? The new plan is now we're going to keep Kirk Cousins as a backup. So if Michael Penix gets hurt, we told you so. We were right for keeping him on the roster. We were smart for keeping him here. No, this whole thing has been an abject disaster that's just going to end up working out the way that it was supposed to for them, because by all accounts, I think Michael Penix is going to be an above replacement starter in the NFL at worst, right? I think he's got a pretty high ceiling. That said, Kirk Cousins is going to be a $40 million quarterback who does not take a snap, not because he's injured like Deshaun Watson, but because, well, they just don't think he can play anymore. So the reality here is that the Falcons are not going to give Kirk Cousins away for nothing. I think it's a derelict move of management. I'd get him off the roster as soon as I can. I'd take a bag of balls and an extra groundskeeper for anybody who wanted to take him, because you don't need this around. This is going to be a topic all season long. 1-3 interception game, and guess what they're going to be doing? Is it time to go to Kirk? Is Michael Penix not being able to handle this well? He's only played 3 games. Should he sit more? You're creating this whole narrative that without wins and high-level production from Michael Penix, you're going to have this hanging over your head the whole season.
Let me ask you a question about Kirk Cousins, too, because I think this is important. And if I'm asking you a question of saying, like, I don't think Kirk Cousins ever should play for the Atlanta Falcons again, but it's still a business at this point, and they're trying to jockey for position and make it seem like we want to keep him because somebody might want to trade for him. In your opinion, does Kirk Cousins, forget about playing a game, Mark, does he ever show up at Flowery Branch as even a participating component of that team, or will he be shipped out before he even has a chance to do that?
I mean, the way you phrase it is interesting. If he's on the roster and it comes to week one, he's showing up. Why? Because, or he'll show up to training camp, rather, because, he doesn't want to get fined. I mean, he's going to make them pay every single dime of that contract, and he's not going to give anything back. He's not stupid. I mean, he's got a really smart agent and negotiated a great contract for him, and he's going to maximize every dollar of that. That said, will he be on the roster? I don't know. I mean, maybe the Falcons are hoping that somebody gets hurt during training camp, and they need an immediate replacement quarterback, and there's actually somebody who's desperate enough to give the Falcons something. Kirk Cousins has no trade clause, but that's not what's holding this deal up. Kirk Cousins wants out. He's not being bashful about that. He does not want to play in Atlanta. He does not want to sit the bench. And for all of the, you know, the consternation about whether the Falcons made the right move, remember, they sort of punked Kirk Cousins after they signed him because they never told him before they signed him that they were going to go end up drafting his replacement if he was there for them with the eighth picked overall. So, you know, there's some contentiousness there between the two sides.
And right now, what is holding up a potential deal for Kirk Cousins is the finances involved. The new team that would have to pay Kirk his contract and even the cap hit, Mark Zeno, that Atlanta would take even if they dealt Kirk Cousins post June 1st. So I thought you said something there very interesting. If Kirk Cousins is on the roster in any form or fashion, and Michael Penix Jr., who is really undergoing his first full year as a starting NFL quarterback, struggles, then there is always going to be that idea of the elephant in the room. Should we go to Kirk? Does he make us better? This is a winnable division in the NFC South. So let's talk about the idea of success for the Falcons this year. Atlanta's win total is 7.5 entering 2025. Some slight juice on the over. A plus 146 price to reach the postseason. Second best number to win the NFC South at plus 230. Again, still a winnable division that is not overly difficult entering this season. So Zeno, let's talk about the ceiling for the Falcons. What does success look like in Atlanta?
They have to make the playoffs. This is not negotiable. If they don't, Terry Fontenot's getting fired and Raheem Morris might be gone with him. I mean, Raheem Morris was handed a NFL playoff caliber roster when he took over because Arthur Smith had helped make them that, but he just had no quarterback. So Raheem Morris got a quarterback and got it fixed pretty immediately for them to go be able to do it. They did not last year. It fell apart on him down the stretch. Obviously, Kirk Cousins played poorly. He got benched. We know how it all went. But this team has to make the playoffs. When you showed those lines earlier, I would just bet them to win the NFC South. That's the best value because likely whatever they win, if it's not the division, there's not another NFC South team that looks like it would get a wild card. There are too many other good teams in the NFC that are going to win 10, 11 games that are going to snag the wild cards that a 9-win Falcons team would end up getting the wild card. So it just makes more sense to bet them to win the division from a value perspective and a return on your investment perspective. But if they miss the playoffs, heads are going to roll. Terry Fontenot, who's been the GM for this team for now 5 years, hasn't made the playoffs once. And some questionable draft picks. You start with Kyle Pitts. And again, the signing of Kirk Cousins and the drafting of Michael Penix, all that. I mean, it's not going to be good. If they don't make the playoffs this year, Fontenot's gone, and Raheem will be on a very, very hot seat if he's not gone with him.
Quarterback controversy is there sort of in Atlanta, right? We think it's going to be Michael Penix, but then you throw in Kirk Cousins. But at the same time, now we look towards the Pittsburgh Steelers and tell ourselves, could there be a quarterback controversy because one quarterback isn't going to show up? We thought who was going to be there. Before looking at the Steelers overall this season, is it just a foregone conclusion for you, Mark, that Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback? He just agreed upon a date that he's going to show up, but nobody knows it but Mike Tomlin in the front office?
Yeah, I think he told the front office of the Steelers, hey, I'm not going to sign a deal until after all this stuff is done. Take it or leave it. You know, I mean, Aaron, you know, as much as I don't believe everything that's said about Aaron Rodgers and what goes on around him, I do think he's pretty clear with what he wants and what he doesn't want, what he needs and what he expects. And while he's not sitting there dictating terms to anybody, he's just telling them, hey, this is where I am. And the Steelers as an organization are probably smart enough to go, yes, we're still interested. Yes, we want you. What we're not going to do is sign you, then have you not be here and create all the extra headaches. So we'll let this lie and we'll talk when you get back.
Quick follow-up, Mark Zeno. If Aaron Rodgers is the starting quarterback for the Steelers week one, is Pittsburgh a winning football team above 500 in 2025?
Absolutely. Yes, defense is too good. Aaron Rodgers doesn't even have to be. Aaron Rodgers wasn't bad last year. His defense was terrible.
Interesting take from Mark Zeno. That's why we have him here. College football playoff expansion next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. Tender, juicy, and its own sauce. Would you look at that? Well, you can't see it, but trust me, it looks delicious. New McCrispy strips, now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the chief clinical officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive-compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
There is a lot of conversation right now in college football with spring meetings, four conferences happening the past few weeks. Currently this week in Florida, it's the SEC. The Big 12 also having their spring meetings as we speak. A few weeks ago, it was the ACC. Mark Zeno, there has been a ton of conversation about changes coming this season in 2025 and beyond to the college football playoff. We'll talk expansion and what that could potentially look like in 2026 and later in just a matter of moments. I do want to ask you about the change that we know we have for the 2025 college football playoff. Our second year of the 12-team format could be our second and final 12-team CFP. Instead of last year, in which we saw the opening round byes for the four highest-ranked conference champions, we now just get straight seeding. Five highest-ranked conference champs around the country earn that automatic bid to the college football playoff, but after that point, as well as the seven at-large teams, it is just based on the final committee rankings at the end of conference championship weekend. Zeno, are you in favor of the straight seeding model for the 2025 college football playoff?
100%. The adults finally got back in the room and decided to make a decision that made sense for everybody. I mean, this is not wasn't that hard to figure out. The one they came up with before, as you know, Ben, and you'll enjoy me making fun of the ACC and Big 12 commissions.
Oh, we need an absolute bid because nobody likes it. It's not fair. The Big 10 and the SEC take everything. Wah.
That's what that was. Okay. Yeah. Finally, the adults got back in the room and said, hey, 1 through 12, we're not messing around right now. If you win a conference, you're in. But if you're seeded 16th, guess what? You're now the new 12 seed. You're ranked 16th, you're the new 12 seed. So I'm glad this has happened. It's a proper first step. Now, the real question is, as they're starting to hash out now, is what happens when they expand this thing again? For the record, I was against the first expansion. I'm incredibly against the second expansion. So 12 is where we need to go.
And the proposals that are coming up for 16, which me, more is merrier here in the college football playoff. We're going to have meaningful football. And it's simple for me. Like, if you make me commissioner, nobody plays cupcakes anymore. You enter game number one against your conference, and that is who you play until the 10th game of the season. Then you enter into the playoffs. But also, I just see the little notes right here. And this, like, because I like where the playoff is going. But anytime I hear this, Mark, we still must have bowl games involved in the college football playoffs makes my head explode. Now, you can have a happy medium because, as I explained to Ben here, if you have the Rose Bowl, I don't understand why we have to play it in California. Call the Rose Bowl and have it from Lincoln, Nebraska. The Rose Bowl game. Fantastic. It's still a college football playoff game at home. The fact that these kids have to play, and forget about the kids. I'm talking fan base at this point. You're telling me before we get to the championship, I got to fly to three road games and then play in the championship game? It doesn't make any sense here. You can have your bowl season outside of the college football playoff. People will bet. People will enjoy. And if you want to have the Rose Bowl, hey, the Rose Bowl. Yeah, it's just going to have Idaho State taking on UCF. That's what you're going to get. I'm fine with it. But why do we have to include the bowl games here and make these teams who have earned home field advantage play a neutral site game? It doesn't make sense to me, Mark.
For the same reason, you will continue to have a useless conference championship game from a football perspective. Conference championship games are not needed, period. They're a waste of time. They're a waste of energy. They're a waste of players' bodies, as we saw Georgia lose their starting quarterback in one last year. The only reason you have bowl games and the only reason you'll continue to have conference championship games is money. I mean, these are multi-million dollar events for universities, for the conferences, and they get money from it because everybody wants to advertise with the Rose Bowl. Everyone wants to be a sponsor of the Rose Bowl, and all that money continues to shift hands. We're robbing Peter to pay Paul. Everybody's got their hands in the pockets of somebody else to get more money out of this whole thing, which is the same reason why you clowns who want to expand to 16 football teams for the playoffs, it's the same driving force, money. So, yes, DRS, on the level, I agree with you. It doesn't matter what you call the game. It doesn't matter where you play it. But it certainly matters to people who want to pay for it.
Yes, it certainly does.
And why would they, though? Like, what? Like, he's like, well, it's there. Like, why can't you have a game at Penn State with 110,000 people and split the gate as if it's the Rose Bowl?
I'll tell you exactly why. Because I'm not paying $1.5 million to sit in Penn State in December and freeze my tail off when I could be in Pasadena, California.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Who's not paying?
If you are the economic engine, if you're the Rose Bowl committee, you're probably not forking up all the money for that game to be played somewhere that is not at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena.
But what more money would they make? The ratings would be sky high. You would have 110,000 people.
It was the same reason for 100 years before they, not 100 years, for 50 years before they started putting domes in NFL stadiums all the time. The Super Bowl was always in a warm weather climate because the owners did not want to go freeze their tail off in Detroit. They wanted to go down to Florida. They wanted to go to Miami. They wanted to go to California. They play in warm weather cities for that reason alone because people enjoy the week-long vacation in a warm weather climate for the Rose Bowl.
But the same people would go to Penn State.
Right, but I think Zeno's point being that the hosting committee of the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California, that makes all the millions of dollars of revenue based off hosting the Rose Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl or the Sun Bowl even.
But hear me out on this, though. Yeah, but hear me out on this. Let's just say, like, there's a Rose Bowl, fantastic, and people love that if it's Idaho State versus Kent State?
I don't think so.
Well, then that's the point, then. But the Rose Bowl itself isn't making money.
The Rose
it's the team.
Bowl is still part of the college football playoff and being used as a quarterfinal or a semifinal spot, which is always going to be the case. I agree with you in essence, right? Yeah. That if we had everything equal as the National Football League, where television revenue was evenly split around all 32 NFL franchises, it would be a very different story. The collegiate ranks, not that. Every conference has its own TV revenue deal. Money is the reason we have conference expansion. Money is the reason we have conference realignment. Money is the reason we have college football playoff expansion in the first place. And we can continue this slightly in our next segment together. But of the proposed models for a 16-team college football playoff, we have seen the 4-4-2-2-1, four automatic qualifiers for the Big Ten and the SEC, two for each in the ACC and the Big 12, in the highest-ranked group of five champion with three at-large bids, or now the one that has been floated this week that seems to have some steam behind it. Just five automatic qualifiers are five highest-ranked conference champs and now 11 at-large spots in a 16-team model. Which of those do you prefer? Again, you could have some time in our next segment to discuss why.
Yeah, just to back up, while money is the reason for all those things, let's be clear, money is not the reason why I am part of this show. So I am here for you guys. There you go. So
hosting committee.
I like
sports,
that. Yeah.
Might be moving operations.
Who's watching this right now? They listening.
More on the college football playoff when we return.
I mean, if you're not can host, let him do it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A little bit more conversation on the potential expansion of 16 teams in the college football playoffs starting in 2026. And then we'll have some MLB conversations with Mark Zeno, the money man Mark, as we like to call him here on the early line on Sports Grid. So, Zeno, I laid out the potential options of what a 16-team CFP could look like. The 4-4-2-2-1 with automatic qualifiers, four for each, the Big Ten of the SEC, two for the ACC Big 12, highest-ranked group of five champ, and then three at-large spots, or a model very similar to what we see now in the 12-team era, just with more schools at large, 5 highest-ranked conference champions, 11 at-large teams. Now, you, like me, not in favor of expanding by 4 schools to 16 teams, but if it does happen, and it certainly is going to happen, which model do you prefer for a 16-team college football playoff?
It doesn't need to be complicated. 5 plus 11 works. I mean, that's really all it boils down to. Take your 5 conference champions and then just take the next best 11 teams. Again, the whole idea here is to get the best teams in the college football playoff. If that is the genuine idea here and it's not based off of anything else, then this isn't that difficult, because what we've learned about the CFP rankings since they've done it, because again, you're also talking to somebody who never thought the BCS got it wrong, but the CFP rankings have never gotten the rankings wrong. They don't. It is a good system. It is done well. It is executed with getting the best teams in order, 1 through 4, 1 through 6, 1 through 12, 1 through 16. So just let that be the barometer and let it do its job, because guess what? We found out over the past decade plus, they're pretty good at getting this right. So don't complicate it. 5 plus 11 works.
Let me ask you a question, too, on this, because I'm a big proponent of not having the weekly TV show. I think it adds unnecessary drama where it's like, you told us 2 weeks ago this team was good. They didn't lose. Now they're dropping back. Is it just for TV ratings because you want us to watch? Would it be better, Mark, like Selection Sunday? You have the Sunday show. We find out then and there who is in the college football playoff, who is in the NCAA tournament. Is it better that way, or do we have unneeded confusion by this playoff show that we have for 5 or 6 weeks, which technically doesn't mean anything until the final show?
You are correct. It means absolutely nothing. However, it does two things. One, it creates revenue, and that's always important to college football. But two, it also gives you, both the fans and teams alike, this is what our starting point is. Now I know I need to win these 3 games to automatically get it. It gives you a better barometer than the AP poll, which is where, you know, coaches and commissioners turn around, here, kid, fill this out for me. Yep. Here you go. And that's how the AP, you know, gets filled out. It's not really taken with any real seriousness. At least it gives you a barometer of where you are, what you need to accomplish going forward over the final 5 to 6 weeks of the season to get yourself into the college football playoff. It's pretty academic and pretty elementary, rather, to say, hey, if we just continue to win, we're going to get in. Yes, we understand that. But you could also sit there and forecast, well, if LSU drops a game here, well, if Ohio State drops a game here, well, if Arizona State drops a game, whatever it may be, you know, that allows us to sort of forecast how things go.
My issue with it is that year to year, week to week, there almost seems to be a differentiating qualifying factor for why this team is ranked ahead of another.
Yes.
Is it strength of schedule? Is it quality of wins? Is it head-to-head matchups? All of that stuff. So what my ideal college football playoff would look like is your automatic bids for the conference champions and then using a BCS-type computer ranking system to fill out the at-large teams. But, of course, the committee will always be there because it's the high-powered ADs and the powers that be in college sports. And the show will always be there because of the TV revenue. Quick change of pace, Mark Sinnoh. World Series odds, Major League Baseball in 2025. And our two front runners, the Dodgers plus 240, the Yankees plus 550. Sinnoh, your Pinstripes have won 16 of their last 20. They will meet up this weekend in Los Angeles. Is our weekend set at Chavez Ravine between the Dodgers and the Yankees in World Series preview?
God, I hope not, because the Yankees won't win that one again either. that's neither here nor there.
Hold on a second. So as a Yankees fan, you hope it is not a World Series preview after a World Series rematch, because you are hoping the Dodgers are not the team the Yankees have to see?
Yes.
Or you don't think the Yankees are good enough, despite your fandom, to win a World Series?
I don't think the Yankees with Aaron Boone at the helm are good enough to ever win a World Series, but that's a different conversation.
Boone-y.
So neither here nor there. But, yeah, I don't want to face the Dodgers again, and I hope that they don't make it to the World Series. They've been overpriced this entire year because they're not that separate from the market. They're not that separate as a baseball team from what the market tells us they are.
Okay, I agree with that as well. It's a long baseball season and a very random sport. Just needed the clarification there. Mark Sinnoh, it is always a pleasure, man. Money well earned on this Thursday. We thank you for being here.
Amen, brother. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for being here, as always. Hour number 3 comes your way up next.